please join me in welcoming the 1987 Nobel Peace Prize recipient, Costa Rica's President, Dr. Oscar Arias Sanchez.
Dear friends, Costa Rica is confined to the south and the north by political conflicts of extreme gravity. Fortunately, we have oceans from frontiers, four frontiers to the east and the west. When we look to the north, Costa Rica cries out for liberty and democracy to end the war. When we look to the south, our cry is the same. We cannot allow ourselves a moment of weakness. If we are lame against the language of violence and intolerance, we will be betraying the opportunity of the Americas to opt for liberty and to establish democracy in all its countries. The times we live in are of great uncertainty, difficult and violent. Tolerance appears to lose ground. Management of conflicts is handed over frequently to hard, dogmatic men. What frightening cruelty runs round the world from the valleys of Ireland to the heights of Machu Picchu. Barbarous terrorism leaves its scars of pain in all continents. What violence without sense kills thousands and thousands of human beings in the confrontation of Iran and Iraq? Despite this sorry climate, the world still hopes, looking for ways to avoid greater ills, how to achieve peace. The agreement of nuclear disarmament between President Reagan and Prime Minister Gorbachev, the peace negotiations in Afghanistan, the United States peace plan for the Middle East, and the Central American peace plan are signs with which the world announces its will to not allow itself to be conquered by violence and not to fall into despair. This violent world is besides paradoxical. It is a world where often he who can achieve the most fails to do the least. We have been able to silence nuclear arms, but not rifles nor cannons. Conventional arms keep on killing anywhere. We have reached the moon, but we have not been able to suppress hunger in the world. We have learned to live in liberty. We have perfected democracy, but we have not succeeded in getting millions of men to live free from oppression. The world of today confronts challenges clearly defined: violence and totalitarianism, the drugs traffickers and corruption, and the misery that is hardening in the peoples of the third world. I'm convinced that the great evils which today we should have before us only can be combated with freedom, with democracy, with the might of parliament, with a solid regime of public opinion. The small nations are in general the most vulnerable to these great evils of our times. Why hide the fact that corruption has been transformed in some countries not only into an obstacle to development, but also into a barrier to liberty and democracy? Why hide the fact that the drug trafficker has become a menace, just like the destruction wrought by invading armies, similar to the ungodly practices of terrorists, in the anguish they cause in not knowing even who are the victims? Why hide the fact that hidden in the roots of many evils of today is the poverty of millions of human beings? It is no consolation to be able to say that in our country corruption is less than in others. No, that they tell us that our poverty and our problems with drugs are also less. All these evils are in Costa Rica less serious than in almost all Latin America, because we have lived 100 years of democracy fighting them with our freedom. In the name of liberty, we are obliged to defeat poverty, to defeat the drug trafficker, and to defeat corruption. I'm firmly convinced that the fortress of the regime of public opinion reflects the fortress of democracy. He who walks in freedom always will be the first to show results, to break chains, to open up new horizons. There is a history now too long again, unfortunate, in which the stability of many Latin American countries was entrusted to the armies and the men of arms. We Costa Ricans put our faith in freedom, in democracy, and in the rule of law. There is an answer for which we can't go on waiting for. Our confidence in liberty is incompatible with disproportionate backing given to the armed forces. Harrowing indeed, it is to reflect on how far corruption has gone for those who feel they are the permanent owners of power. An absolute power at that. Some, both within and without our countries, have had recourse to corrupt practices to get economic and political advantages. Some suborn the soldier and weaken democratic institutions. The stability of our region will only be found when we lose our fear of freedom, when we make political stability sure through democracy. We cannot continue speaking of peace while the armaments race goes faster and faster. We cannot speak of development while more and more resources are destined to buy arms and to pay soldiers. We cannot continue speaking of solidarity and cooperation while the riches of a few increase and the poor get poorer. The Central American peace plan is in good health. From its very beginning, some people declare it dead and without future, this peace initiative. From then on, every day, there are some who continue to declare it dead and without any future. Luckily for Central America, the predominant political issue in the region are all around the peace plan. We always knew the immensity of the obstacles to overcome. We always accepted that that risk was better than war and restraint offered as the alternative. The obstacles today are different, although as great, like those with which we began the long trek for peace. In El Salvador, the war has intensified again and seems far from the dialogue of those in conflict. In Sapoa, there began a dialogue giving hope for peace for Nicaragua. In Guatemala, everything seems to indicate that soon there will be negotiations to achieve a ceasefire. I remain convinced that dialogue produces miracles. I remain convinced that no one better than we ourselves, Central Americans, can sort out the problems of Central America. The Congress of the United States gave an opportunity for the peace of Central America by stopping military help for the insurgents of Nicaragua. In a public letter, I asked Mr. Gorbachev to give an equal opportunity for peace. I pointed out to him that if he did not do what the United States Congress had done, he would be responsible for many years of sterile war. I also pointed out that his refusal to stop sending arms to the region would make clear before the whole world that the new political position proclaimed by the Soviet leader to humanity is not true, and you can't trust it to construct the history of peace. I must confess with chagrin that the reply to my letter was not sincere. We well know of the supplies worth millions of Soviet times to the region. We ought to oblige the Soviet Union to rectify its policy about Central America, and we need further the political backing of all friendly nations. The coming withdrawal of Russian troops from Afghanistan provides hope for the political rectification needed also in Central America. We are in the shadow of peace, in that zone of penumbra where we don't know if the next step is to the light or whether we are dealing with a recession to darkness. We know the stages to await for. The treaty ought to be converted into a ceasefire, the ceasefire in peace, and peace into a new social order, which politically and economically is able to eradicate poverty and which allows all the peoples to live in freedom. You can help us a great deal to clear the path ahead. With the same vehemence and the same faith with which we looked for peace by democratic means and renounced armed solutions, we fight the drug traffic. I want to tell you that next week, when I get back to Costa Rica, I shall sign a law that will strengthen the struggle against the illicit use of psychotropic drugs. With pride, I tell you that that law, presented by my government, was approved unanimously in the Legislative Assembly. That law is the most severe and complete that has been promulgated in the continent. With it, we shall cut from the root the possibility of laundering money in the drug world. We shall be able to confiscate properties and goods of drug traffickers and their henchmen. We shall be able to punish more severely those who utilize or pretend to utilize Costa Rica for those activities. With the same vehemence and the same faith with which we look for peace through democracy and renounce armed solutions, we struggle against poverty and against inequality amongst the nations. Development ought to be our immediate ally in the struggle for peace. No matter how serious the repercussions may be in the conflict of East and West in Central America, we shall not ignore that the root of our problems is in generalized misery, and that dictatorship oppressed the peoples for many decades and impeded economic development. It would be a great error to utilize the menace of conflict between East and West in Central America to ignore once more the legitimate aspirations for social justice, the legitimate aspirations for liberty, which were silenced by military boots for more than a century. The importance that development has to achieve peace is so deep in my convictions that I wanted to leave as testimony of it the Nobel Peace Prize that I got in 1987. I donated that award for a foundation, the Arias Foundation for Peace and Human Progress, which will be dedicated to combating poverty and contribute to repairing the destruction caused by war in Central America. To resolve our conflicts, there is no substitute capable of replacing sustained economic development. I can say that without fear of error, the 27 million inhabitants of Central America hope to achieve a development based on a style of life both austere and equitable. We want a society in which the children can go to school and grow healthy and free of fear. We don't want an economic growth which is dangerous to the environment or causes our peoples inconvenient social pressures. We only want the quiet that comes from the absence of misery and a certainty that through education we shall be able to get the progress we want. Is that much to ask for? Is it much to ask you to help us get it? Or the least you could do, that you back us in the task of destroying prejudices and the lack of objective information which at times interferes with the solidarity of the peoples. In the past, we used to say that the developed countries should offer us commercial opportunities in order to depend less on aid. Now we have no alternative. It is not only necessary to make deep structural reforms in our economies, but also to sustain and even to augment the help conceded. In Costa Rica, we are on the point of signing an agreement with the World Bank of much importance to accelerate the changes required by our economy. We have come to an agreement with the International Monetary Fund, and we are trying to renegotiate our external debt on just and realistic basis. To pay the interest of its external debt, Costa Rica ought to spend 8% of its gross national product, or rather the third part of its income from exports, or 50% of its yearly savings. How are we going to develop our economy if our efforts are not seconded in getting an agreement with creditors, including multilateral organizations? It is lamentable, as I have pointed out on several occasions, that the international financial community is not disposed to consider different realities, nor even when they contribute to peace. The fear that a concession granted ought to be granted to all the countries in debt makes you think that all countries and all situations are the same. So here there is a serious political error which you can help us denounce. The Reagan administration got a visionary plan moving to stimulate diversification of exports in the Caribbean. That program could be affected by two factors: the wave of protectionism of the nations who are the most advanced on earth, and the possibility that time runs out on it, and that the program's horizons do not get wider. A senator, Terry Sanford, took the initiative of creating an international commission for the recuperation and development of Central America. From the beginning, I applauded that purpose because it interpreted very well the efforts for peace and democracy in accord with Esquipulas II. From that idea, there could come the required complement for the Caribbean Basin Initiative. I invite you to get to know the work of the Sanford Commission and to reflect on the way to contribute to its perfection and to put it into practice. Let us avoid what happened to the Alliance for Progress, the Rockefeller Report, and the Kissinger Plan. All those plans were made with the best intentions, but in one way or another, they got stuck when they began to produce their fruits. Now we are obliged to be successful. Without development, there cannot be peace, and the cost of violence and war will be much higher than the investments we need at this time to promote development. We are advancing on a program which will transform the external debt of Costa Rica into investments to protect the environment. We are proud of the initial result of this program. Give us your support. If you believe it right, propose that project as an example for other nations of the isthmus who also suffer from the erosion of their land, the loss of fertility of the soil, deforestation and extinction of the fauna and flora. To plant trees in Central America is to plant peace. It is to speak of a new kind of development. Help us in this crusade. There is another great task which you all know well. If the world is living in peace, if disarmament is a fact, if the economy of powerful nations is sound and its commercial dealings don't have barriers, we will live better. Allow us to export our flowers, our shirts, our sugar, and you'll see how we'll buy more from you and we'll pay you punctually. If Costa Rican roses have the doors closed on them, we will not be able to buy United States tractors. If you put quotas to our products, we will not be able to pay the interest. You, those responsible to inform daily to 100 million readers, invited me here to speak, not only because you are interested in what happens in Central America, but also because you want to know how you can help us overcome our difficulties. Today, you know more of Central America than 10 years ago. This is due to catastrophes striking our ears more than what is quiet and peaceful. As news, violent transformation stands out more than serene change. Shots in the jungle make more noise than choirs in churches. I'm not going to suggest you to dedicate less space to conflict, but rather more to information about agreement. I'm not going to ask you to dedicate less space to what is negative, to our backslidings, but rather you give some opportunity to what is good, to our progress. There are politicians, teachers, and workers who want to build a just society, less poor, more free. Encourage them. There are democratic reforms which want to open up in Central America. Stimulate them. Friends, we are allies in freedom, and so we share the same ideals and the same principles. The sons of captive Cuba keep on dying in Angola because they don't have any choice to be free. Let us reaffirm our alliance with generosity. Don't let us permit our weakness and frailty to separate us. Let us struggle against every dictator. It doesn't matter what his ideology is. Let us denounce the corrupt and combat the drug as if it affected everyone equally. Let us do the same with poverty. That is not a problem only for the poor themselves. Our alliance ought to be closer and stronger than ever. Let there be never a step back on the road we have been over to peace. That the political prisoners don't go back to the jails. Let us struggle together that they get out of those jails, those who still remain in them unjustly. That no newspaper be closed, that no radio station be silenced. Let us struggle together that all the newspapers be open, radio and television. That no dictator return there where freely the governor was elected. Let us raise the level of consciousness together to rid us of the dictators that persist in the Americas. We are allies for peace. We are allied to defeat poverty, to defeat the drug trafficker, to defeat the corruptor. We are allied to rid us of the oppressor. The regime of public opinion ought to be our stronghold in each of these campaigns. Almost all of you know the country from which I come. You know we don't have arms, that never one of our citizens has experienced political exile. In my land, there is no violence, although at times we have it surrounding us. These days, men and women in fear, men and women with hunger, enter our territory from the south and from the north looking for protection. 10% of our population are refugees running away from wars. My Costa Rica does not want to get rich ostentatiously, but we are committed to eliminate misery. Thanks, dear friends, for this invitation to speak to you on this day. In your profession, in the free exercise of journalism, the Costa Rican finds more strength than in 1,000 armies. In the noble causes we share, we must succeed in these coming years. In these very causes, you will be soldiers and judges of the tasks of the governors. Let us share the road and let us enjoy together the success of our mutual pledges for more peace, for more liberty, and for more democracy. Let us work together for that liberty without names and without dogmas, for that unique and noble democracy which we know so well. With what sadness we have seen that freedom for which so many died does not have plows to cultivate the land, for all the iron is used for chains with which they try to imprison yet again the peoples, perhaps in the name of yet another ideological setup. I invite you to consider our alliances like a field where the rain has just fallen, where there is still hope for all, where we can renew our faith in the mandate of our peoples who are brothers. Thank you.